Thanks for tuning in to Mysteries of the Mind, a podcast revealing the way our unconscious minds shape our lives. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Bader.
Happy couples are supposed to have a lot in common. Some online dating services pair people up on the basis of their common interests. But in my clinical work with couples, I've found that some forms of similarity are a liability rather than an asset. In the end, it's not that similarity is a problem, but rather the assumption of similarity. For example, everyone has a way that they prefer to be loved. Some people like to be told in words that they're special and attractive. For others, words are less important. It's actions that matter. Concrete expressions of care that are of practical help are especially valued. Over 10 years ago, Gary Chapman, an experienced counselor, wrote a best-selling book called The Five Love Languages that made this very point, arguing that there are multiple forms of love, including physical displays of affection, gift-giving, displays of admiration. And the point of differentiating among types of love is that there is a tendency in all of us to assume that others are like us. We tend to assume that if we're especially responsive to one particular form of love, others will be similarly responsive. But unfortunately, this just isn't always the case. And when there's a mismatch, relationship trouble can begin to brew. For example, I treated a couple in which the husband, I'll call him Jerry, felt especially loved when his wife, whom I'll call Denise, did things for him. For example, when she did some of his chores in order to enable him to rest, or when she took over the planning of vacations and some kind of financial management of their home. See, Jerry was then touched and moved by these very practical gestures of affection. He felt understood and cared for. See, Jerry had grown up in a home in which he was neglected by alcoholic parents who were really never there for him when he needed help solving a problem. When Denise was making his day-to-day life easier, he felt then especially seen and loved. Unfortunately, Jerry assumed, without consciously even knowing it, that Denise must be like him, and that she would and should equally value help with the stresses and responsibilities of everyday life. And so this was what he offered her. He helped her in day-to-day tasks like cooking or managing the workmen that came over the house that they periodically hired. And see, Jerry experienced these gestures as loving and assumed that she would too. Denise acknowledged that Jerry helped her a lot, but said that being helped wasn't what she primarily needed from him. Denise wanted Jerry to tell her more about his feelings for her, about the ways he loved and appreciated her. See, verbal affection was the most important thing to Denise. She felt especially loved in this particular way. Other forms of love, well, they were appreciated, but they didn't quite hit the spot like words could. Denise had grown up in a harsh environment in her family in which words were used as weapons and praise rarely explicitly offered. So words of affection and care had a special power to touch her heart. This led her to also assume, you see, that Jerry was like her. And so she was free and uninhibited about vocalizing her affection, desire, and appreciation of him. She felt that such expressions conveyed the depth of her love. Jerry, however, didn't register them in the same way, since his preferred way of being loved involved action and not words. So Denise's words didn't really sink in. Each person, in other words, gave the other what he or she most wanted from the other. They had a hard time understanding how their partner could then feel unloved or deprived. The reason, though, was that they were speaking different languages of love, and so both felt cheated and misunderstood as a result. Because we all tend to assume that other people's minds and hearts work like our own. The challenge of healthy love is to understand and accept the ways that our partners are different than us, that they're separate and have very particular needs and psychologies that determine what they can and can't hear and feel. Jerry had to come to understand that Denise had a special and idiosyncratic need to hear about his love for her, not simply be shown, while Denise had to learn that Jerry valued showing, that he registered loving actions more than loving words. Both had to learn to communicate what they really needed and why in order to encourage the growth of empathy and to increase the likelihood that each partner would correctly perceive each other's true intentions. The challenge of coming to see and appreciate another person's difference, their separate psychology, isn't as easy or automatic as it sounds. It helps if you grew up in a family in which your parent appreciated the ways in which you were unique and different. Rather than be seen as a chip off the old block, it's important in healthy development to be cherished and admired for what is unique about you. Many of my patients suffer from the lack of such recognition. One patient described an extreme form of this problem that pertained to his mother. He said, "For me to picture a dark room," this is him talking. He says, "Your mother is sitting in the middle of it. You're standing along the wall. She doesn't, for the most part, see you because the room is dark. But then picture your mother holding a flashlight, shining a narrow band of light onto the wall opposite her. If you stand in that light, but only then, she sees you. But the moment you move away from it, you and your mother are plunged back into darkness." This is what happens with the children of especially narcissistic parents. If the child is flattering or mirroring the mother, or if the child is emulating the mother or father, it could be, the parent is pleased and reassured and the child gets attention. But as the child separates and individuates and moves away and forges his or her own path, the parent loses interest. Healthy love, then, involves both empathy, feeling like the other, with an appreciation of difference. A failure in either dimension always causes problems.
Thanks for listening to Mysteries of the Mind podcast. To learn more about how your unconscious mind really works, please tune in next time. And be sure to visit Dr. Bader's website at michaelbader.com.